everyone. I'm your host, Barry Farber. Welcome to this issue of Selling Power Live on Marketing Yourself. This issue brings to mind a poem I once read on the back of a sugar packet. The poem begins, "He who has a thing to sell and goes and whispers in a well is not so apt to get the dollars as he who climbs a tree and hollers." That poem just goes to prove that the greatest idea in the world is of no use at all if no one knows about it. Don't be afraid to shout out your message to anyone who will listen. In this issue of Selling Power Live, you'll learn some of the best techniques to market yourself to prospective clients and employers. I'll speak with Pat Rapella, President and CEO of Rapella & Associates, a leading executive recruitment firm. He has some great advice for selling yourself and promoting your career. Also, you'll hear from Dr. Donald Moyne, author of Ultimate Selling Power. He describes the two most effective marketing tools for sales professionals. Then Lou Adler, founder of Power Hiring, explains the best ways salespeople can get hired by top firms. And Susan Harrow, top media coach and marketing expert, shares her advice for promoting yourself in the media. This is an informative and educational issue. We hope you get as much out of it as we put into it. Now let's get started with my first interview with Pat Rapella. When looking for a new job, salespeople should think of themselves as the seller and the prospective employer as the buyer. How should you sell yourself to a prospective employer? Pat Rapella, President and CEO of Rapella & Associates, the leading executive recruiting firm specializing in the chemical industry, joins me to talk about how you can land your next big sales job. Pat, thanks for coming on the program. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Barry.
You know, just to start off, talk about maybe what the three major reasons people and companies hire a salesperson. What would those three top issues be?
Well, there's no question that when a client is telling me their interview strategy, they focus in on three key areas. Number one, personality. Number two, the appearance of the individual. And then number three, the skills related to their open position. Personality is always important in a salesperson, and we all know the basic personality traits of a good salesperson. But what's just as important are issues such as corporate culture fit. Does the personality of the individual fit well with the supervisor, the peers that the person is going to be working around, or the other executives up the corporate ladder? And depending on the type of the company, whether it be a large multinational corporation or a smaller entrepreneurial organization, the right personality can make all the difference in whether or not the person is, of course, successful selling, but as well successful within the organization.
Right. So you have personality, appearance, and skills, and that's kind of like if you were doing a first call with a customer you're selling a product to, you know, the rapport building, the contact you have immediately is the first impression and what your appearance is like, but also when you talk about skills, maybe the credibility and the understanding to back up what you're selling, so there's a respect right away. When you say personality, talk to me about that.
Well, preparation is everything. If you're going to go into a sales appointment, you're going to take the time to make sure you're prepared, that you've got all your selling materials, your collateral materials well organized, and that you know your product, you know your competition, etc. It's the same for interviewing. Preparation is key. Enthusiasm is very important in the interview process, and if you're not well prepared, it's hard to be enthusiastic because your nerves get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk with our candidates at length about taking the time to study the company's website, to conduct industry networking and information gathering through resources, whether they be purchasing agents that have competitive salespeople calling on them, to identify and to understand the company you're interviewing with through these other sources. We also talk about being well prepared by identifying a top 10 list of key questions that you'd like to have answered
mm-hmm.
in regards to joining that company. It's good for you to know what you're getting into, but it shows that client that if you'll take the time to prepare for the interview and come in showing that preparation, you're that type of salesperson that is also going to do that for a client.
You know, it sounds like you just said preparation, and I was going to ask what are the three most impressive things a salesperson can do to sell themselves to an employee, a prospective employee. Preparation, one of those?
Yeah, number one, mm-hmm. preparation for the interview, covering those three points I just made.
Mm-hmm.
Study the company website and collateral materials, anything you can get your hands on that's printed or available, network and information gather through other resources, and then three, prepare that list of questions. But then as well, in the interview process, some of the things that I tell my candidates to do to really make them stand out against the competition they're competing for that job for is to ask for good feedback throughout the interview process. It's the same thing, again, as selling. you don't talk. You ask.
What do you mean by feedback? Like, what questions would you ask to get that?
Hiring manager will ask you a question such as, do you have specific experience selling this product to this type of application? And your answer will be, yes, you know, I've been working with that product for this application and have been successful doing so, et cetera, et cetera. The next best thing to do before the hiring manager goes on to the next question is to just simply ask them, was that on track? Is that what you're looking for? Do you want to discuss that further? Or can I show you some collateral materials I've brought along to help you better understand my skills in that area? Ask for feedback to be sure that you're testing their temperature and that you're on the right track.
Right.
Many times I hear from my clients that interviews took place and the candidate babbled on and on about a topic, thinking he was on track only for the interview to end because of a lack of time, lack of interest, etc., and that candidate to be totally off track because he never asked for feedback and wasn't really sure if he was on the right track. Assumptions can kill you in interviews, just like they can in selling.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest mistake a salesperson on an interview makes or might make?
Not asking for the job. There's no question about it. That is the tiebreaker. You have two good candidates. You're the hiring manager. You're really trying to sort out who's the best guy for the job, and you've got a number of other people in the organization that helped you with the interviews. And let's say you have six people that were on the interview panel. Three like the one candidate, three like the other. For all intents and purposes, either candidate can do the job. Which one gets it? 9 times out of 10, it's the one that asked for the job and drove home his interest for the simple reason that when it comes time to make an offer, it's a lengthy, complicated, and sometimes bureaucratic process.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get approval from your boss, from human resources, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a good amount of time and energy and emotion that goes into that. The last thing you want to do is break that tie by making the offer to the candidate that has not as high a level of interest or possibly other offers or is looking at a counteroffer situation, et cetera. The guy who asks for the job usually is the one they go to first.
That's interesting. I mean, in sales in general, that's a mistake also, not asking for the business. And do you have any recommendations of how people should ask for the job, of how that comes up? Is it one big question or is it a constant qualifying during the interview?
Well, I tell all my candidates in interview prep, ask for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point. Ask for it 3 times throughout every interview process. Doesn't necessarily mean you'll ask for it 3 times in the first interview, but throughout that interview process, before that client makes a decision, you need to have asked for it at least 3 times. And in the first time, it might be a very soft close. You might say, hey, I'm very interested in what I've heard. I hope you feel the same. Looking forward to the next step.
How much listening should somebody do in that first interview?
Twice as much as they talk, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you do that is by being well-prepared, having a good list of questions about what's the position like on a day-to-day basis for a person in this role, what's the opportunity for advancement, where are the key areas that you'd like me to focus on, what are the most significant challenges I can help you with. If you go into an interview and you just sit there and get grilled, it's a one-sided interview. But if you go in with a list of questions, you can maintain a balance. Therefore, you can listen, hopefully, if you're lucky and you ask good questions, twice as much as you're talking, and that makes for a good salesperson as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to just do all the talking. It's another thing to show that employer what you've done. And so we tell candidates a real good interviewing technique to draw the client into interesting discussions about your skills and abilities is to actually bring with you sample material. Samples of proposals that you've written that are first class that went to major corporations and
mm-hmm.
hit a home run. Samples of territory sales management software or contact database tools you've created. Awards that you've received for success.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a statue type of award or a crystal piece or something like that, take a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to carry in big boxes of awards, but certificates photocopied or in a 3-ring binder. Testimonial letters that you've gotten from past employers or from customer. Those kind of materials generate direct, specific interest and get the client talking about you and your successes.
So well said. I mean, obviously you stack rankings and what they've done in performance-wise against a number of people and over a period of time to show consistency. Also, you talked about awards, but testimonials even are just something. How many do they have and how many customers they deal with? The other thing, too, is if a sales rep is coming in for an interview, how can they knock the socks off of that employer? How can they really just, have you seen anything or heard of anything that really just is something that you'd say, this is a situation where they went kind of out of the box, but they really blew away the employer with this technique or method or strategy?
Mm-hmm. sometimes it's not as much to blow the socks off. You can do things that will definitely direct you and separate you or differentiate you from the competition. Sometimes it's hard to blow the socks off and get real creative without coming across real corny, too. But some of the things that you can do that'll make you stand out, bring a copy of your resume with you to the interview. So often now, with the advent of email, everything is black and white, and email does not necessarily make the best presentation when the client gets it and prints it out and, you know, hands it to the other people on the interview panel. So bring fresh resumes on nice, clean paper and put just a touch of color into it to make it look like your brochure,
mm-hmm.
your marketing collateral piece on you, the product. And even bring some samples of some of the materials and or collateral pieces your company markets, just to show, again, that you're, you know, a salesperson, you're a marketer, and that you know how to present not only yourself but the products and the markets you're serving in a professional way. It's those kind of things that make the interview more memorable. Maybe not necessarily knock their socks off, but make you stand out against the competition.
Right.
As well, as I mentioned, bring the testimonial letters. If I say I'm great, you tend to doubt it. But if my client says it, it tends to be true.
Sure. I actually work with reps, and one of the big things, that this one rep in Florida I was working with actually has a biography on himself. He sells with it. This, you know, customer, look, you're buying not only this product or service, but you're buying me to be here every day, every month, whatever time you, you know, that you're investing in me to support you and follow up with your questions. So here's a little background on some of the things, the awards I've won, the service I've done, the training I've been involved with.
That's an excellent idea. Having an overview or a biography and then having some of that collateral material in your hands, you may, you know, if you bring in a three-ring binder and you've got 15 pages, you may not get through every page with that client without boring them to tears or getting the interview so bogged down in that three-ring manual that you don't really get into any good dialogue. So that biography can be a summary sheet of what's in that three-ring binder that could be left behind for further review.
I found as a sales manager interviewing new sales reps, candidates, I try to get them in a situation where I'll ask open-ended questions, or we'll even do something where I'll have a partner manager or somebody else who I work with, an experienced rep, come in there and we'll do almost like have them sell me what they're presently selling or give them something to come back and sell me and see what they're like naturally. What do you think, putting people on the spot? Because that's what you really buy. I mean,
right, there's no question about it that role-playing is an excellent tool to use in interviewing. I have a client actually interviewing today that has two candidates coming in. And in order to prepare the candidates for the interview, they sent to the candidates a PowerPoint presentation on their company and said, now this is our company and this is what we do. We want you to study it, and now we want you to bring that PowerPoint presentation to us, and we're going to have a panel of people that are going to sit down, and you get a half hour to give us a PowerPoint presentation on our company. Great way to compare that person's skills to the other salespeople in your current organization.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're done with that, we're going to do some role-playing. And then they'll pull out a pen, a notebook, whatever, sample simple things to sell, and ask that person, make a presentation, sell us this product. And there is no question role-playing is an excellent tool to break out of the standard pre-scripted answers to interview questions.
Mm-hmm. Just what you said so far is maybe just a message in the essence of selling yourself on a job interview is the personality, your enthusiasm, that excitement you have, and the enthusiasm is created by your preparation, because once you prepare, you have information to make you feel comfortable about answering questions or asking them, and that stops your mind from thinking about how you might mess up on the interview, focusing on what you're going to do well, and bringing testimonials and awards and backup support for what you're saying. All these things are just pretty much the standards for what makes a good sales rep in general, right?
Exactly. No question about it.
Pat Rapella, President and CEO of Rapella & Associates, thank you for your help and appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you too, Barry.
Take care, Pat.
Bye now.
Executives will mix 20 million rounds of golf with business this year, says former AT&T executive Bill Storer, who founded one of the first companies offering business golf instruction. You can use golf and other sporting events as a way to promote yourself. The key is to always have an objective for the outing. Your objective could be as simple as having fun. You don't have to sell a product, but you should always be selling yourself. You can determine the objective based on where your customer is in the sales cycle. If you are playing with a new or prospective customer, your objective for the day would be to gather more information about the company and to build rapport. If you're playing with an existing client, you want to express your appreciation for business and ward off the competition. In either case, you should plan ahead and focus your questions and direction for the day. Coming up, learn how to use the media to sell yourself. But first, what salespeople can do to get prospective employees to take notice.